You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you've had a great week so far. I'm hoping that you're going to watch Bachelor in Paradise this week. Episodes will air on Mondays and Tuesdays. So 4 hours of horrible romantic choices amongst former Bachelor Nation contestants. If you are maxed out on stress, this is the show you're going to watch this week. I'm telling you, you're going to laugh. You can only imagine they're all frustrated from having a lack of a romantic experience on their respective Bachelor shows, and this is their opportunity to meet and possibly get engaged. I know it sounds insane, and it is insane. So watch that on ABC. Then you've got the premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which is on Bravo. It's returning for season 3. And you've got Housewives Lisa Barlow, Heather Gay, Meredith Marks, Whitney Rose, and Jen Shaw. And then 3 new friends. Now remember, Jen Shaw, she pled guilty at the end of filming that season. So we will see a full season of her saying that she's innocent and then taking a complete 180 by the end of the season. So for that, that's going to be interesting to watch. You're going to see her ongoing legal battle, but also the friendship dynamics are going to change and divisions will happen. At the end of last season, there was a quote-unquote hot mic moment, but it really wasn't, where Lisa Barlow eviscerated Meredith Marks. So they can't be friends anymore. So of course, Lisa's got to find a new friend, and apparently it's Whitney. So things are changing in Salt Lake City, and I'm hoping that you're going to join me to see how it all unravels. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is on Bravo. This episode, I got a chance to talk to Molly and Emily from Amazing Race. Now, you remember last week I interviewed the executive producer, Elise, and I asked her, you guys always get the best personal stories. Who do I have to look forward to this season? Who stands out? And she said, you're going to want to watch Molly and Emily's story. Molly Sinnert was born in South Korea and adopted by a couple in Florida. And after she took a DNA test, she found out she had a twin sister in Philadelphia. And they were both raised in Jewish families. So Molly and Emily are contestants this season on Amazing Race. And I got a chance to talk to them about their most incredible story. After checking Molly's DNA for medical reasons, she found out about her twin sister Emily through 23andMe, a DNA testing company. They exchanged a message through the website and found out that close to 50% of Molly's DNA matched with Emily's daughter, Izzy, this unknown person at the time. Well, the results predicted that Izzy could be her daughter, but Molly doesn't have any children. So she began raising doubts about the entire process until she dug a little bit deeper into the DNA breakdown. Emily's daughter had been interested in their Korean heritage for a long time, and once they were able to exchange messages, they both figured out that they both had the same exact birthday. And thus, the relationship began. The twins met for the first time on March 29th, their 36th birthday. I was so surprised at the experience they've both had in reuniting with one another, and you will hear all of us get emotional. They said things that were most surprising, and I just think it is the most interesting twin story I've heard in a very long time. And if you're a twin, I think that this is the episode for you. So make sure you check them out on Amazing Race this season. And the exciting thing is they've only had one episode thus far, so you can jump in right away. And I think you're going to look at it now through a completely different lens, knowing that they are basically in a new friendship, in a new relationship, and how extraordinary it is to see your mirror and to learn and catch up on 36 years of experiences that you missed out on. So make sure you check out them on Amazing Race. Also in this episode, I interviewed Ryan Bailey, the podcaster, my friend, about the season premiere of Kardashians on Hulu. And we get into all the nitty-gritty about Khloe and Tristan and the new baby and everything having to do with the Kardashians this season. So make sure you check out his podcast. Also, make sure that you get tickets for my two upcoming live shows, November 20th at City Winery in New York City. My East Coast peeps, I can't wait to see you. I'm so excited and I plan on hanging out after the show, so I hope you will join me. And then in Los Angeles on December 3rd at the Hollywood Improv, all my Los Angeles friends, I hope I get to see you too. Some have asked, what can I expect? It's a live podcast experience, but I found that it becomes half of which is like behind the scenes of my show and the most interesting people I've interviewed, but I also talk a little bit about my own personal story. And the reason why I've been so obsessed and fascinated with anyone in unscripted television, and it's based on my own crazy family. So make sure you get a ticket and check it out because it's stuff that you're not going to hear on the podcast that I think you would really enjoy. So those two shows, again, are New York City, November 20th at the City Winery and December 3rd at the Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles. And lastly, make sure that you're signed up for that must-watch list that I put out every week by going to katecasey.substack.com because every Monday I put out a list of what you must watch this week and you don't want to miss out because there are so many great opportunities to watch great storytelling and unscripted television and I don't want you to miss out because it's something that doesn't pop up on your social media feed. I've got you covered. So make sure you go to katecasey.substack.com. So here we go with my great interview, really one of the most special interviews that I've ever done with Molly and Emily from Amazing Race and Ryan Bailey on The Kardashians on Hulu. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmerman dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Emily Bushnell and Molly Sinnert are identical twins competing in season 34 of The Amazing Race. And when I spoke to Elise, the executive producer, she told me about this incredible team and their personal story I just found so compelling. And I'm so thrilled I've tracked them down. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kate. It's nice to be here.
This show is always so great because they have the best personal stories, and this one jumped out at me. I was familiar with the People magazine article, but I want you to tell everybody this incredible story. So tell us how you met.
So Molly and I were adopted from South Korea in 1985, and we recently learned that we were separated at birth. We were born to a birth center and relinquished to two different adoption agencies pretty immediately after the birth. So fast forward to 3 years ago, my daughter, for her 10th birthday, received a DNA test as a birthday gift. She had asked for several years to do a DNA test, knowing that I was adopted, and thinking that very point blank, she could do a DNA test and find my biological family. So finally, after a few years, we gave in. She received the kit for her birthday. We sent in the test. Nothing notable came back in the results. Her father is mostly European, so a lot of European cousins, a few very distant Asian cousins, very, very distant. From time to time, we would get a message here and there that we have a new DNA relative, nothing too exciting. And here we are 2 years later, receiving an email that we have a new DNA match, and this person is trying to connect with you. Molly, do you want to tell your part of the story?
That was me. Yeah. So I grew up as an only child, adopted from South Korea, and I'm in the medical field, clinically trained as a pharmacist. And so I'm very aware of, the advances in genetic testing and what's available direct to consumer now. And I thought, I never have medical history on my physical exams. It would be nice to get some of that, especially following a minor health scare. Had to have a mammogram and everything was clear. But that really gave me the motivation to go out and get one of these kits. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'll find out something fun, like I'm not 100% Korean, but didn't even cross my mind that I would find relatives. That was not the motivation at all. So I took the test. I got the results. They came back like 3 weeks earlier than I expected to see them. And I logged in and it said, you have a close relative match. And since I've never done one of these, I didn't really understand what that meant. So I clicked on the close relative. It said, you share 49.96% DNA with this person. And we predict, 23andMe predicts, they don't know who I am, but we predict that she's your daughter. I'm like, I don't have a daughter. I definitely never went through that process.
Oh, right. So,
it was a mind-blowing discovery. And with my scientific background, I've taken courses in biology and know a little bit about genetics. It was pretty clear to me that obviously I had a twin sister who had a daughter, but even though scientifically that's the truth, you couldn't believe it. Like, I mean, I sat there in awe at dinner, and I had at that point already messaged through 23andMe, and my husband was just like, just don't get your hopes up. You may not hear from this person. But sure enough, like 30 minutes later, I got a message.
30 minutes. 30 minutes later?
Yeah, it was really fast.
Wow. And what did that message say?
Yeah, you met right before your dinner time, which is about the time that I go to bed. So my daughter Izzy and I were, cuddling up in bed. We're getting ready to go to sleep. And I always check my email right before I go to sleep. I know it's a terrible habit, but I'm so glad I checked that night. Yeah. And message said, what did your message say? It said,
I'm not sure how we have a, shared DNA at 49.96%. I'm curious what this means. I'm South Korean and I was adopted in 1985.
Yep. So we immediately wrote back. I'm in shock. Molly has already figured out what this means. Yeah. And I have a sister with a daughter. But at this point, I was just in complete shock. We messaged back and said, hi, Molly. My mother was also adopted from South Korea in 1985. Her birthday is March 29th.
Wow.
that's the moment where I was like, okay, I'm not dreaming. Like, holy crap. We have the same day. I have an identical twin.
Now, I want you to be honest. In that moment, did anything feel like this makes sense? Like, I've always felt like there's something missing, or that just tracked somehow for you.
It did for you, right?
Yeah, it's really hard to put it into words. It's not something that's easy to articulate. But I instantly felt, I say this and it sounds cliche, but I instantly felt whole. I really felt like I had been carrying around this weight and this kind of emptiness in my heart. And immediately that hole was filled. I was just completely grounded and I mean, shocked and overwhelmed and happy. And I think in the moment, I didn't really feel any of the sadness or anger. You know, those emotions kind of came a little bit later. It was just all like pure joy.
It's so interesting hearing you describe it now that I've had more time to process it all. But I think in that moment, I felt probably the complete opposite. Like I felt like I had been stripped of something almost. And I said this, like I couldn't even look in the mirror. I felt like my whole identity was a lie. And I didn't understand. I was an only child growing up. And I always thought, you know, a lot of who I am today is because of that. And I didn't feel disconnection growing up. I think I, just being an only child, any loneliness or disconnection, I just attributed to not having a sibling. And so maybe I misinterpreted that. And, you know, that probably has lasting impacts on who I am today. So I'm just grateful that I can share this with you now.
When you first saw a picture of one another, did it take you a moment just to take it all in? Did it take your breath away?
Yeah. The first picture I found of Emily was her LinkedIn photo. And it must have been years old. But she had on like a winter scarf and her skin was pale. And so I'm looking at this photo and I don't have a memory of taking this photo. So I'm looking at this photo. I'm like, oh my God, she doesn't even look like me. But I send it to my friends. I'm like, you're never going to believe this. Like last night I got a twin. It's weird to say. but I sent them the pictures first before I told them what happened. And they were like, oh, you don't look really good in that color. Like it makes you look pale.
Oh,
like they're
wow.
like, why are you sending me this picture? I'm like, wait, what? She looks like me. But yeah, that was weird. And you saw pictures even earlier than me, I think.
Yeah, we immediately Googled Molly.
Oh yeah.
Full first, last name. So I found pictures and I found a video and I thought like in the beginning, I thought, well, she could be an older sister. I hadn't put two and two together that a 49.96% DNA match with my daughter meant that she was my identical twin. You know, I don't have that science background and I was just in total shock. So I'm looking at these photos thinking, well, maybe she was older and she was adopted when she was a couple years older than me.
I don't think we looked
like sisters, but I didn't quite catch that we were identical twins. And then I watched the video and I'm watching her speak and her hand motions and I'm thinking, oh, okay, maybe we are like, you know, more closely related. And similarly, other people in my, you know, circle saw the videos and the photos and just knew like right away, like, oh my God, look at how she twiddles her thumbs and look at how she like cocks her head and, you know, the way she enunciates words. That you don't see yourself in that perspective, right? We're still discovering things that we do similarly that we didn't realize we were doing. For example, the way we run.
Oh, when you meet up, that must have been even more apparent. Things like that, the way that you walk, the way that you hold your head, does it still astound you how many things are alike of both of you?
Yeah, it's weird because when we see photos, I think, and other people say this that have seen like our cast photos, you can tell us apart in a photo, like standing next to each other still. You know, I shape my eyebrows differently. I have longer eyelashes, I think, because I've worked on them for years and use, you know, growth serums. But even in person for me, like we go months not seeing each other. And the first instant where I see her like get out of the car to pick me up at the airport, I'm just like, what? I am opening the door for myself. It's so strange. So there's something about being in person. In fact, like I wasn't frustrated with the crew, but it was like, how can you not tell us apart?
Right.
Like, I didn't understand it.
Wow. But,
One of the things that I'm most looking forward to seeing on the race is what do we look like outsiders, like getting this, outsider's perspective of the two of us together. Our family members mix us up when we're in the same room together. I mean, there were several occasions over the last weekend we were together for my brother's wedding that, you know, one of my siblings or my daughter would turn to Molly and start talking to her as if it were me. And they're like, oh, wait a minute, you're not my sister. You're not my mom.
Before they even start talking, I can tell that they know that they think I'm you because there's a different look in their eyes. Like it's more casual. It's very strange, but I like, and I'll give them a little smirk and they're like, oh, I thought you were Emily.
Well, what has this meant to both of your families? This, because obviously it affects them too. What has it been like?
Yeah, it means the world. I mean, I think in different ways, it's been the answer that we needed or the therapy we've needed, the thing we've needed in our lives at this moment. And, you know, as much as we can look back and be upset and mad that we lost 36 years, the timing of everything was just really perfect. You know, I lost my mom recently. Emily's having trouble maybe connecting with her father. Not maybe, she is having trouble connecting with her father. And, you know, so she's got my dad, Izzy has my dad, and I now have her mom to fill, you know, a little bit of the emptiness that we feel, in our broken families. And, so I think for Emily's family, I don't want to speak for them or for you necessarily, but they've expressed to me that Emily just instantly changed. You were in sort of a dark place, and just knowing that I was here and that we could establish this bond and we were both wanted to be friends, you know, it was what you needed.
You bring up that part of our story because I sort of have forgotten about that piece. I was going, you know, kind of down a dark path. And after my daughter was born, she was my first biological relative, right? She had my fingers, she had my fingernails, my nose, she looked like me. And it was a very profound experience to go through. I didn't realize what that experience would be. I wasn't expecting there to be anything other than, oh, I have a child. But it meant so much more. It was weighted much more heavily for me with the adoption. And, you know, my family is white and Jewish, and here I am Asian. And then I give birth to this child, and it's my first biological relative. So from that point on, I started to feel more and more disconnected from my adoptive family. And it was getting harder and harder. So I had just started reaching out to, you know, communities. I learned that there were Korean adoptee communities in New York and Philadelphia. And just before COVID, I started, you know, diving more heavily into the research, and I was going to go and meet with one of these groups. And then, of course, everything shut down. And then, you know, a year later, here's Molly. And my parents, or my mother and my brothers, my family saw me kind of going down this dark path, and there was nothing that they could do to help me. You know, they didn't really quite understand it. My brothers, especially, you know, we love you so much. We've given you so much. You're part of our family. We don't see that you're Asian. Just couldn't understand what I was going through, and they didn't know how to help me. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Molly, and instantly I just feel whole. And she was just the answer to everything. And they got to witness, you know, a complete 180. I immediately turned around, and I was happy and confident. And my daughter changed as a result of that. And our trajectory is just, we're just on the right path now. And it really, the timeliness of it all is just unreal.
What do we know of your birth parents? And is there somebody in Korea? Because I know in Asia, it's very difficult for someone to go and to locate their birth parents. Is there hope that you can find out about your birth story in Korea?
Yeah, we did find out quite a bit. And fortunately, with the help of a Korean network who filmed a documentary of us, we were able to find it at, you know, 1,000 times speed at which the process typically takes.
Oh, wonderful.
So yeah, we actually found out, I think probably quite uniquely, that our birth family is still very much a whole family in Korea. So we have a father and mother who are still together, and we have an older sister and a younger brother. And so that's a whole another aspect of, you know, processing and dealing with, I'll call it trauma, but I'll also call it just our story. Mm-hmm. Because it's, though it's a trauma, it's worked out beautifully in some senses for us. And, you know, we kind of choose to see the positive and, but not push away, you know, the feelings that come along with everything. So yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, I really feel for the adoptees that try to go out there and find their story. You know, I don't think it's necessarily, it doesn't have to be about meeting your family or even, you know, knowing them today, who they are, but having that origin story. When we found out where we were born, you know, most people go through life knowing exactly what hospital, exactly what time they were born. And that gives you a sense of like self-identity. And just knowing that piece without even knowing our parents were still alive, it meant a lot. It meant a lot to putting together a little bit more of, you know, who we are and where we came from.
The fact that you found each other at this part of your lives has to have been divine intervention in some way. I can't think anything other than that. Do you think that becoming contestants on this show and being able to put your lives, you know, kind of aside and to have these experiences around the world and working together has only enriched your relationship?
Yeah. I mean, this is definitely a competition show, but it's also a story about relationships. And this was like, you know, fast, you know, 2x, 10x speed of like getting to know each other, even, you know, physical traits and things that I know the physical traits, I guess. I share your DNA 100%, but, you know, just like seeing how her experiences impact the way she even runs or, you know, reads the clue, like those little things that you don't necessarily talk about. You have to see it happen. It was a really nice way to, I don't know, get to know each other in a very unconventional setting. Like we would have never gotten this close had we not been able to spend like time without phones or away from family, just one-on-one together.
Even before and after, so the interview process, the application process, and even this follow-up podcast with you now, it's been another unique way for us to get to know one another, but then also, you know, having this time with you to recount our story and retell it, it kind of brings us back, you know, because we're just living the day-to-day, right?
And right.
This big thing happened, but we still have to go to work and still have to get my daughter to school and dentist appointments and all of that. You know, you kind of forget and it gets lost. So I'm really happy to be able to reconnect and reflect on it again. And we need to continue doing it because it's so important and we have so much more to unpack. And we continue to do that through these conversations.
Where can people watch you guys compete? And I'm hoping that you take it all the way. This is such a great show for everybody, especially families. And I'm like, this makes me even more excited to watch this season. So the show obviously is on CBS. It's on every Wednesday. What are you guys most looking forward to watching this season?
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone else did.
Right? Because you get to, you don't really, you're so in the game. That must be the best part of it, is just to watch everybody else's story play out too.
Yeah, I mean, you get little stories here and there from people, you know, such a great cast, but to see it all play out, and even ours, like, we've probably thought we looked sillier than we really did, but Us seeing us through the lens of a camera, it's going to be interesting.
You guys are incredible. I'm so glad that I got a chance to talk to you. I'm wishing you luck on the show, and I hope that you keep in touch with me.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
The Kardashians on Hulu is back. And so is the very handsome Ryan Bailey. You know him, you love him. The podcaster extraordinaire, my friend of many years. And he's pretty fired up about the season premiere of season 2 of The Kardashians on Hulu. Welcome back, Ryan Bailey.
Welcome back. Thank you. Hey, lifers, what's going on? What up, reality lifers? You know, did we even get a break from The Kardashians? I mean, I feel like it's the second season started, which I'm pumped about for so many reasons. But was there ever true? I mean, we had like a 3-month break from the first season to the second season. But in that interim, we've seen them every day on some form of social media. So now we've reached a point in this second season, you guys, where it's so meta because you're like, it's everything is deja vu. Because you're like, I saw this before. And you're like, oh, I saw it on social media when it actually happened.
But the great thing about this show is that they have somehow been able to withhold some secrets in their life. So you do still feel like you're privy. So for example, the season begins with we're right back to Kim revealing to Khloé in a phone call from the gym, home gym, that Tristan has been involved in a cheating scandal. And then we find out that Khloé has already done an embryo transfer and therefore is stuck because she is going to have another baby with a guy that has cheated on her for the, I don't know, second, third, fourth time.
No, I mean, this is the second season. We're in the fifth season of Tristan cheating on her. Like, this has been a multiple season arc where that's what I'm talking about. It's like Groundhog's Day. We're having the same exact, I mean, it's just that now it's on Hulu instead of E, because I remember like 5 years ago when we had the same exact situation the week. In fact, you guys, it was so horrible. She gave birth early. She went into labor early because she was so stressed out because the dad cheated on her and it all came out the week of all of this. Isn't that, I mean, as a mother of like, isn't that, I mean, just you, I'm sorry, whatever you think about Khloé, but my heart goes out to her. But also it's like, girl, the call's coming from inside the house. Why are you doing this 5 years later with this gentleman? You know?
I know. And I think all of us have known somebody in a shitty relationship and you get to the point where you're like, I've said so much and they're not listening and I just have to roll with it. I have a friend, Kelly, who said that she has a rule within her friend group that you're allowed to say what you really feel about a boyfriend one time. And then that's it. I'm like, God, can you imagine how many guys would be in the Kardashian graveyard if they were only allowed to say one thing one time?
I mean, well, I mean, that or they would like just then put that whoever said that one thing that one time, they would never talk to him again. You know, like you can tell like Khloe's friends like Malika and Khadija, you can tell they're always like, they don't really say real opinions. They're kind of like, how's it going with Tristan? Like you see an awkward scene where they want to, it feels like they want to stay in the friend circle. So they're, they walk on tiptoes and they kind of take their cues from Khloe and her facial reactions.
Yeah. But that scene where Kim kind of goes off and then has to eat, she can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. She said, boy, this is a sign from God that you should not have another baby. And then she's kind of
she's like, we got a little problem, she says.
Whoopsie.
Now, listen, this goes now, my brain is mush from watching so many of these shows and loving so many of these shows over the course of the last couple of decades. But my first thought was, wait a second. My first dark thought was this, because I remember the season finale where this scene happened. And it almost seemed like they refilmed this scene because I was like, wait a sec, we don't see anybody in the background anymore, which if you watch this season finale, we see all these people milling about because they were shooting a scene with Kim. And Khloe's like, I don't know if you remember, I said, take me off speakerphone, da 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 da. I'm like, no, I don't remember that because that didn't happen. And then we see that little bit scene, which I'm like, okay, maybe it did happen the same day, but already I'm questioning that. Ooh. I almost felt like, because this was a very special episode, you guys, where it took scenes from the entire season and they put it into one episode. So the timeline is not a straightforward timeline. In fact, next episode. Next episode is when we're going to start linear storylines, which is really smart because they got the hard thing out of the way. They got the Khloe pain out of the way. And now we can refer to it, but we don't have to focus on it. So it, I think, helps Khloe's mentality rip the Band-Aid off and go on. But my thought was how... I just figure if they did implant this embryo and all of this happened just a couple days before, how in the heck does Kris Jenner and the family not know about it? Like, is Khloe still able to do that?
That was surprising to me too.
That private of things without her manager's knowledge, her mom, her manager, who her mom is. How did they not know of like, by the way, we're finally doing this because she hinted about it in the first season. So it had to have been on everybody's agenda. I just think, I mean, Kris lives next door to Khloe now. You don't think it's like, hey, what you doing today, girl? Well, I'm going to go implant an embryo with Tristan. How did that get hid? And all of a sudden it comes up on a phone call at 6:30 in the morning with Kim. And that's the first time.
My guess is this, as the filmmakers, we can only imagine that you're dealing with someone whose mental health is very fragile. They have to somehow tell this story and be very careful to do it to not upset Khloe or her family. And they probably did the best job that they could. And so, yes, maybe that part was a little bit fudged.
This is why I like talking to Kate, you guys, even though, because we'll talk off podcast, is that Kate has a producer's mind. And that as the more you go into this kind of stuff, you start really looking how these things are pieced together. And I was kind of like a similar way of like, how do you do this where you respect the subject, you know, which is Khloe, and you respect this family. You also try to gently, which they're very gently, like if I had produced the Kardashians, the whole thing would be like, this guy's a mother. Beep, boop, right. Beep.
Sure, people can look at it and go, they have all this money and access and wealth and all of that. But at the very core of it, Khloe Kardashian is still somebody who wants to grow a family. And I think she was absolutely humiliated. And so the production team is trying to be very kind and careful with someone who is fragile and who is one of the main talents of their show.
Totally. And I think they did that beautifully. And also just shout out to the production of taking a cue from Selling Sunset and Selling the OC. Remember back in the old days on E, they didn't have like full... Dude, now they have... In fact, I said, we need a soundtrack just for this episode. We need the Khloe Kardashian episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because every song, you guys, has lyrics and they are especially fit to the scene we're seeing. And they even throw in for the first time a country jam of like... I will rise above, I'll get my soul free. Like it is like Selling Sunset on steroid songs because it's like girl boss songs, but then it's also about like growing and rising from the ashes. Like, yeah. I paid attention to every lyric, and it was so suited to each scene we were seeing. And that's impressive. They have a really nice music budget.
I have to say, I have such great respect for you that you pay attention to the lyrics of songs, because that is not something I ever pay attention to.
First off, the only reason I do that is because, and we talked, last time I was on this, we talked about, I think, Selling Sunset. It's the only, I started doing it just because of Selling Sunset, because Selling Sunset started the, where they pay like a music service that just, you're like, we just want something about girls being powerful. And it'll be like, I'm a girl, I wake up, it's girl boss power. I'm going to top to the mountain. We're in Hollywood. And Selling the OC is the same dang thing. But the Kardashians are interesting because they're even doing slower songs where I was like, at some point, they're actually going to name check Chloe in the song of like, Chloe, you can do this.
Yes, right. You know? Like Kylie Bird. Right. Because there was that one scene at the pond. Now, what did you think about the transition from her moments with Kim to Kylie? Kylie was like, listen, here's the deal. I have a guy that's not great either. But we both have babies the same age. We're going to raise these kids together.
Kylie's a full-on billionaire. Like, so you are going, like, I like the sense of like, Kim says her advice, Kylie says her advice, and Chloe in the scene where she goes over to Kylie's, Kylie's like, don't worry, once the baby gets here, you're going to find love. And she's like, okay, like almost like, thank you, I trust your opinion, Kylie, you 23-year-old, over everybody else's opinion. And then that one haunting scene where they all gather at Chris's, except for Chloe, and they're all like, Kim's like, I just brought everybody here to talk about what we can do for Chloe. And all of those ladies at the table had all been cheated on. You know, like,
oh, I know.
Kanye's admitted in the past that that's like one of the things that he did. I assume Kendall, maybe one of the basketball stars she's dated, has cheated at some point. Kylie, we know Travis Scott. Like, Travis Scott allegedly has a whole second girlfriend, like, that he keeps hidden. Only recently he started taking pictures with Kylie. And then of course we know Kris Jenner and her troubles with, with people, you know, in relationships down the road. So these are ladies all coming together like the Justice League of Infidelity and saying, what can we do for Chloe? But I almost think it's like, I almost wish people like us could sit Chloe down, because I feel like Chris is always like still championing these men for these, like, we've got to tell this beautiful story to the kids. It's like, tell the real story to the kids. You know how resilient kids are? You have kids. You're like, no, I'll tell.
Well, I completely understand why she does that. I don't necessarily agree always, but I think that if you look at the family's history, I think her divorce with Robert Kardashian really made an impact of their life. And I think that she's trying to mitigate any of that pain in the lives of her grandkids. So her advice is always with that mindset.
What Kris Jenner went through cannot even apply in any sort of universe anymore to her daughters. Kris Jenner could have never predicted having to deal with Kanye on a daily basis. Kris Jenner could never have predicted, like, it's like, oh, be nice. And then like Kanye will be like, yo, and by the way, to like that, you know, to Kris Jenner, you ain't ever going to have our daughters doing Playboy, like shouting her out by name. So I'm saying, I understand your sentiment, but at the same time, I also think that, you know, we had Tristan in the baby's room again, like the first time. It's like,
okay,
the same
we're gonna
exact
have a
thing.
Different, we're gonna have a very different opinion about this.
We are, because I'm like, yeah, well, I, you know, he wanted to be there and it's a story for our son, or a story for True. And it's like, what about the story is they're going to see all of these episodes one day. Everybody realizes that this is being filmed, right? And on top of, you can do a quick Google search. And I think my kid would be like, yo, dad flat out cheated on you that many times, and it was the week of, and you went into late. I almost didn't
they,
choose,
but they
like,
don't
I almost
get,
didn't get
but they're born? they're not gonna understand that, so they're in their 20s. Children want to hear, and I say this from my own life experience, that it has been damaging as a kid. It was damaging as a kid to hear stories all the time. Your dad didn't even show up to the hospital, he wasn't interested, I didn't want that piece of shit there. It affects you as a kid because you want to hear that you were born into a happy environment where the birth was celebrated, irrespective of the relationship that parents have between one another. It's about the moment that the baby comes into the world
He's going out to concerts. The night this episode aired, you guys, he went to a Jack Harlow concert with an OnlyFans model. The night this premiered, this guy couldn't even have a date inside his own abode. He had to go out to a concert.
I know, but you know what? It's the long game. So her long game approach is, I want to have a story that my kids can look at that I invited their father into the room after the baby was born for both True and her son. In the short game, she can let the public take care of ripping apart Tristan. She gets to show this story. See? And I think she's been so humiliated enough that it's her job to go to a therapist and to work out the bad decisions that she's made about men. But I think that in the end, the long game was, I want to be respectful, because I think that Kris Jenner actually has done a great job with that, that she maintained a friendship with Robert Kardashian after they got divorced. And I think that that's really important for her, that they continue with that. That,
I mean, Kris still celebrates Robert Kardashian to this day, to her credit. I'm going to rethink my perspective on that. But you also mentioned something fascinating to me, is like, well, she can let all of us take down Tristan. There's a concerning thing though in the show to me also, is that I sometimes feel like, and all you listeners out there, you know, or people that are on KKZ's Facebook boards and all this stuff, is that we get like, we're just trolls now, you guys. We are the hateful trolls, as Kim says, because people are just going to say what they say. But in reality, it's like, sometimes it's not hateful. Sometimes it's directed at the right person. If Chloe actually were to pay attention, there is a lot of people that are hurtful, but the majority of it is that, like, this flipping clown did this again. And it's like, sometimes it's okay to listen to the trolls. I want to make that argument. Sometimes we are looking out for the best interest of you. Remember Chloe back in the day? She was the funniest one of the whole family. I mean, truly, I thought was hysterical. And now we see her and it's like, she's still cool, like obviously a great mother, but you do see somebody in mental crisis. And I would have been really comforted if at some point this episode, because she says, okay, now I can finally move on with my life now that my child's here and I can see what it's like with two kids. I would have also would love to, but in the meantime, before I have this child, I've been going to intensive therapy.
Oh, I agree. That would have been,
and I hope she
that
did.
Would have been,
I
hope, a, I hope she, yeah, that would have been a great
I
message.
I hope she did.
But I also feel like, she's so secretive that maybe she is, but she's not ready.
That's
it seems
what I'm
like
hoping.
She
That's
likes
what I'm
to
hoping.
Do things on her That's own time. The other thing I do like about the Kardashians is that there is this push of this message of like, these women have each other. So these men come and go, but she's a matriarch and all of these sisters, they support one another. And I think that message is really great.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the concept of the men in the Kardashians' life is, I don't necessarily believe in a Kardashian curse, but it is interesting because they are able to, I wouldn't say the word use, but they're able to fall in love with men that help their careers. I mean, you cannot argue that Kim would be where she is today if not for the help of Kanye. But then at the same time, they are their greatest downfall, because these are women with like insane business acumen. These are women that, like, I mean, for no original discernible talent, have come to where they are, and it's now unstoppable.
Well, two things I want to say about that. I would argue that Kim helped Kanye's career. And I would also say that their superpower is that they're genius marketers. We live in a creator economy, and if you're an expert marketer, that's a skill that I think almost everybody would love to have. So I don't think it's fair when people say they're without talent.
I think for what we saw the original family in the first 30-minute episode, Kris Jenner, remember, and Kris Jenner had been kicking around Hollywood trying to make things happen for a long time. I mean, made Caitlyn's comeback happen and all of this stuff. But Kris, you would always hear stories about Kris Jenner being the go-getter, one. So she, it all hinges from her. She is the genius. And her kid, I always think about it in terms of The Godfather. Like, when Kris eventually, if she ever goes, who takes over Kris's spot? Is it Kim?
Kim.
She seems
for sure.
closer to Kylie. Is it, you know, like, Mm-mm. is it, I mean, I do think about Succession, like the TV show Succession.
Yes, right? This Kardashian Succession. I think Kim takes over.
I mean, she has been hinting at it for a while.
I mean, she's got a private equity firm now. I mean, she's probably going to start a law firm.
Nobody realizes how big that private equity firm, what a big, like, mm-hmm. everybody concentrates on the makeup and all that stuff. The private equity firm is the thing you really need to keep your eye on with Kim. Mm-hmm.
I agree. The last part of it is Chloe goes to the hospital and the surrogate has the baby. Now, when you have a surrogate, apparently you get two rooms. So there's one for the family and one for the surrogate. So a lot of people were upset because Chloe is in the video holding the baby in a hospital bed. She didn't kick the surrogate out of the bed. Surrogate's in the other room. She's having all of the surgery and medical attention that comes after you have a baby. Like literally your placenta's on the floor. So they're not going to film the surrogate.
Of course,
they're going to respect her privacy, but that was the reason that Chloe was in the bed. I don't know. What did you guys want her to sit on, like the couch and hold her baby?
I wanted her to share the bed with the surrogate. No. By the way, I did not think anything weird about that part at all. Actually, what I found weird was when Kim and Chloe were talking about the surrogacy earlier, she said, oh, when Sam was born, Courtney was in the room with me and Kanye was in an adjoining room. Kanye wasn't even in the room. Courtney was in the room over Kanye.
That could have been two reasons for that. Maybe the surrogate was not comfortable with a man seeing her give birth to a baby.
Okay.
And also, I found, like, I gave birth the last two times. I had 10 friends in the room. My husband is all the
Where is my invite for this kind of stuff? I mean, like, my God.
My husband is always all the way at the top. He does not want to see the blood and guts and all of that. I think that's pretty typical for men. So I'm not shocked that maybe he wanted to be in the other room. But I suspect the surrogate did not want Kanye to see. Like, lots of women don't want their own husband to see that. I would assume, a surrogate wouldn't want that either.
I just remember an old episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Kim said Kanye was in close contact with the surrogate all the time. So I thought, oh, they must have had a relationship, but that's great. This is why you're perfect to talk about this show, Kate, because you have a perspective on this that I could never possibly have without kids. I just thought it was like, oh, Kanye. I was like, did he talk too much in the delivery room? And they're like, get this guy out of here.
I don't know. There is an aspect to his personality where I could see he might be a little bit old school too. Like, I want to respect that that's your privacy. Yeah. And I also found that when it came to the delivery of like Caroline, my last baby, my friends were like holding my legs. Women really love that experience, especially if you've had a baby. It's this incredibly spiritual bonding experience with another woman.
It's kind of like that show, Sister Wives. They love doing that.
No, but yeah. I think that it's really special. And I think a lot of women could relate to like Courtney and Chloe and Kim wanting to be with one another when they have a baby or the surrogate has a baby. Yeah.
I mean, overall, I thought this was like so well done. I am so curious to see the journey from this point on. And also, I think, isn't this one of the first times we actually had True got her SAG card on this one. True actually had a couple of lines finally, like, my baby brother.
Now, do you think that Kylie's baby's name is Snowy?
I mean, it could be, but here's my thoughts on this, because you guys, at one point she says, is that Snowy? And it's like, no, this is not Snowy. We didn't name our baby Snowy. So they think it's Kylie's baby's name, but I don't think so, because that would have been a quick moment they could have edited out. You know, like, why leave that in there at all if we're afraid of revealing Kylie's name? There is edits, so you can quickly edit one sentence and still have the true scene and just go, baby brother. So I don't necessarily think her name is Snowy, but it's kind of a interesting name, so that I could see them potentially doing that.
It could have been a tryout name, because she announced that the baby's name was Wolf and then got some bad feedback.
Bad feedback.
And maybe
they
she's
test
like,
marketed the name.
Yeah. Let me test market the name. Okay. Chloe's baby is a T name. And Corey threw out the name 10. Someone threw out the name Tide.
Somebody threw out the name Tio. Somebody threw out, there were like so many random. Somebody then threw out the name 2. But Corey was the first one. He's like, 10. And I'm like, thanks for playing, Corey. Like, why don't you just sit down over there, buddy? 10.
Well, what do you think the name is?
Well, I would love it to be Tyler, but it won't be. Mm. But I also think, and I know you'll disagree with me on this too, I think we need to break the T name thing. Like, yo.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
This isn't a Tristan Chloe baby anymore. They're both mother and father, but not together. So let's break this. This isn't the Kardashians. Let's name this baby whatever you feel like naming this baby, Chloe, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'm making a suggestion, but my hope is that she named the baby Tate. I would love it if they just threw everyone off and named the baby Augustus.
Yeah. Do you know that would get so much play in the press? Because it'd be like, Chloe breaks, you know, breaks free, Augustus.
Yeah. And then call him
they
Gus.
Name it Thompson? Like, is it? It's True Thompson, I think, right? So it's
going to be... I think
that
she is very old school, so she wants True to be True Thompson and the baby to be True Thompson. Here's the net-net. Chloe, from the beginning of this show and her life, I think it's really important. It was very important to her that her children are full biological siblings.
I pray to God that that is the reason. But my secret suspicion was, like they had hinted in the first season, was that this is how dark this Tristan gentleman is that he was like, yeah, let's expand our family. Yeah, we're working it. We're working it. And they were hinting at it gently in the first season that they were working their way back together, that they were working their way back together as a couple. It would be in light hints. So my fear and my actual thought is they were doing this as a romantic mother and father. And that was the issue. And that's why it's even such a harder fall if you would put yourself and empathize with Chloe for a second. How, because she really, think about that. Like I was telling Maya, I was like, think about the times you trusted your gut. Everybody's like, listen to your gut. I've listened to my gut 2 times in my life. And I have been horribly wrong each time. And it like, it rocked me, you guys. Like it rocks you because you're like, everybody says to listen to your gut. I don't do it often, but when I did, I'm horribly wrong. So like, think about that. She believed it again. Mm-hmm. And then to find out, not from Tristan himself, because he had been trying to hide this through the court case, found out like we all did. I mean, imagine the floor dropping out like that. Not only knowing that you're going to be made fun of potentially by us, but that she actually was in love with this. She did believe in it again. She did. And that's the crap that you sometimes don't recover from for years.
I know.
But it'll be interesting to see the rest of the season because we're going to see the Marilyn Monroe dress. We're going to see all of these things from a different angle. Will we still care as much as we would if it was a surprise? You're going to get this deja vu feeling this entire season because we've talked and seen and all of this stuff from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things that they all use. We've already seen most of this stuff. And we now know that they've edited out Pete Davidson for the most part from this entire season. Mm-hmm. And Kate, where's Scott? Where's Scott? Courtney finally got her wish. Like, where am I? Come on, I'm Scott. Let's do this. Like, he's not there.
Because in the end, it's a show about women. It's about sisters and their mother. And all of these men are irrelevant.
I think, though, Scott was the one that needed that family the most in terms of just, and even not aside from money, he really makes a point every season to go, I need you guys. You are my family. And for him to be not even in the trailer at the end of this first episode, I worry for Scott, and I know he's done tons of bad things, but it really did surprise me.
Wow. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Well, tell everybody where they can listen to your fantastic podcast.
It's So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Kate's coming on next week, so if you got it, because I'm gonna really plunge and plore the depths of Kate Casey and tell you all the things that she does that nobody even, that you don't even know about. This girl working on a different level than every other podcaster out there. But So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. We do almost daily shows. But also, if you dig the Kardashians, I don't think Kate is covering this every week. On my Patreon, I am. I will be recapping every episode. This past one was like, I did 2 hours. I love talking about this show. So for a couple bucks a month, if you're into it, go join the Patreon or just try it out for like a week and see if you like it. But if not, I totally get it. I just will be recapping the whole season over there.
And where can people find you on social media?
So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. I just, silly memes and stuff like that. But I try to make just goofy laughs. But good goofy laughs.
Thank you, Ryan.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests, Molly and Emily and Ryan, and remind you to click subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Join the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey, to talk about this episode and others. And I want to hear what you think about the story of Molly and Emily reuniting. So jump in the group. You can also find me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. My TikTok is It's Kate Casey. I'm on Cameo at Kate Casey. And finally, bonus episodes, extra episodes with great crossover guests, podcast guests, true crime, stories about the aristocracy, Vanity Fair, what I'm reading, stuff on the news, all extra stuff. If you go to Patreon, patreon.com/ Kate Casey. I'm hoping that you have a great week, and I cannot wait to circle back with you on Friday.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.